Romans 10, if you've got your Bibles. Romans 10. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession. Ooh, I like that. Confession is made to salvation. That word for salvation is soterior. It means to rescue you from danger, loss, or destruction. Wow. Now, you know, many people don't really understand resurrection power. They don't realize what that actually means. This word here for resurrection is two Greek words brought together. It means to rise up, to stand. You know, when somebody tells you to rise up because I want you to stand, you know, that might have one meaning to us. It means, well, we were sitting and now we're standing. But this word literally means to rise up. And the word to stand, stasis, literally means to have victory. Amen. In everything that resurrection stands for. Woo! To rise up, never to fail again. How many of us have come to the altar in our life because it seemed like in the natural, everything that we tried to do came to an abrupt end that was not victorious. But when we understand resurrection power and what that really means, people, what a beautiful, beautiful word that has been given to us, and that is resurrection. No other religion in the world can claim this but us. If you will, real quick, like turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And it talks about our faith and what our faith is based upon. And it says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here comes from that same word, but this time it takes on a little different meaning. It literally means our faith is under the one who stands. That is two words put together, hupostasis, which literally means our faith is under the one who stands. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. That means that when we're under the one that stands, then we also can rise up knowing that we can stand also under Him. Praise God. Many people have come to Christianity and not enjoyed the true victory and the true fruit of it because they don't realize that it's your authority that He's given you to act on for their victory that you need. If you will, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 31. Acts chapter 2, 29 and 31. This is the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would rise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out on this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Every one of us were enemies at one time, but now we've sat at the feet of Jesus. That's what that word means. Enemies, your footstool. And a footstool is symbolic of sitting at someone's feet and learning of Him. Praise God. So now we sit at the feet of the resurrected Lord and we learn of Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn a little further over to Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Wow. The minute Jesus was resurrected, a change took place in this natural realm. Things begin to happen on a greater scale and a greater degree. The very Jesus that walked the shores of Jerusalem and Galilee, the same Jesus was also manifesting Himself now through the apostles with the same power and the same resurrection. Witness, praise God, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's go to verse 10 and 11. That I may know Him. This is what Paul was saying. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, that if by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection from the dead. Glory to God. So resurrection literally means that when Jesus was risen and seated at the right hand of the Father, we became co-inheritors of that resurrection. Yes, we see a natural death take place, but I'm going to tell you something. When you've received the resurrected Christ, you have a promise of a future that will be eternal. Forever, you have inherited eternal resurrection life. Praise God. Praise God. We see things on this side, but praise God. On that side, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise God, we have a beautiful future. This world's getting worse, if you haven't figured it out by now. It's not looking too good here. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's very interesting. The church did not want to believe in a resurrection because their bodies were so vile that when they came into Christianity, they liked to believe there was no such thing as the body being raised up again. Well, the problem is, the bodies contain the nature of death in them now. But the glorified body will not have the nature of death in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it won't be prone to sin as the body that we now have. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul had to address an issue about resurrection. And he starts in verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that He has not risen from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. I'm going to tell you something, people. That is not what we believe. Amen. We believe in resurrection. We believe in resurrection power. Even if we've fallen asleep in the Lord in this time frame, there is a resurrection that's going to take place. That mankind is going to be stunned at that type of resurrection. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 2, the book of Colossians is a very interesting book. But in Colossians chapter 2, it says, in verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him up from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, in the Greek, it's worded differently. It's saying this, you were co-buried with him in baptism, in which you were co-raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your faith, he co-quickened you with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so in Colossians, it testifies about being co-buried and co-raised with him. To the natural mind, it does not comprehend this operation. But to the spiritual mind, you can receive it. You can receive it. But that carnal mind, it has a problem with that. And I'd like to do away with my carnal mind, because then I would have no resistance of God at work within me. But we can't do away with the carnal mind. But we can sure dominate its thinking. Praise God, because of a position that God has given me. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, we were raised through resurrection of Christ for our justification. We have been justified once we received him through that resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to go there real quick, like, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6. Boy, the book of Romans is such a powerful book. Powerful book. In Romans chapter 6, notice verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's what Colossians would say. We were co-buried with him. That through the baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of the body of sin. Hallelujah. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And see, a lot of people don't understand those verses there. But it says that once you've received Christ, you were co-buried with him and co-raised with him. Now, how was I co-buried with him? Well, when you find all kinds of scriptures that talks about take up your cross and follow him. Many people don't understand what that means, to take up your cross and follow him. But I'm going to clarify that for you this morning. When he says take up your cross and follow him, he was talking about the position that your physical body had been declared before God on the cross. Your body couldn't hang there, but his did. And His body took the place of your body so that when God brought death upon that physical person of Jesus, He brought death also upon your flesh. Yes, you are to have this mind in you that was also in, reckon yourselves to be dead. Meaning you've died out to the body of your flesh, that you should no longer obey the desires and the dictates of the physical man. But now you obey and you desire and you transform in your spirit to a resurrected Lord, that you have authority over your life and your body is no longer in control of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And yet a large amount of the church is being controlled by their physical being. I will never, ever, says Paul, I will never, ever be controlled by my physical being. I will do what God wants me to do. I will say what God wants me to say. It's Christ to me, in me, and through me that my victory has been won. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In 1 Peter... In closing, in 1 Peter, this is the most powerful. When I first read that, I didn't fully understand it. But as I began to walk with the Lord and read these passages over and over, it finally dawned on me what was actually being said. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at about verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Notice this, from the dead. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Oh, none of us know what that's about. Grieved by various trials? Somebody said, "Prove that." And I said, "Okay, life." "That the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving," actually it's a word, "obtaining the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Of this salvation, now notice this, of this salvation, the Old Testament prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them. Now, they weren't actually born again, but what was in them was the revelation of the Spirit of Christ that was coming, was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. David did that a lot in the Psalms, and the glories that would follow. To them He was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, when He was saying which angels desired to look into, wasn't looking into getting revelation, but the angels were desiring to see the time period of our generation. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this is the generation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has transferred that authority to us in the earth so that we would partake of resurrection life. Hallelujah. Resurrection life. So that the authority of Christ would be back in the earth operating through us to accomplish what God wants to call the salt of the earth. That was one of the songs that we were singing, that we're to be the salt of the earth. When people have need, after walking in this world, they have need of victory over their life. They have need of understanding what love is. They have need for everything that Christ provided. They can find it in you if you're walking with Him in that resurrection life. Boy, how I love the Lord. But I tell you what the angels desired to see was the present day ministry of Jesus at work. Now, if the prophets, the Old Testament believers, long to look into our generation, our time period, they were craving to see what it was like. Well, if they had that kind of craving, what's wrong with us if we lose interest in the things that God has purchased us with? We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should get back up off our laurels and get back into running this race with full force and not give ourselves over to the body of death any longer, but to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that you and I have inherited through resurrection power. I've been born again. I've been born again. I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm back to the original formation. That's what that means in second, new creation, original formation. My spirit is now back into the hands of God. It had been circumcised or cut away from my flesh. I am no longer subject to graveyard material. I am subject to resurrection, heavenly life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Heavenly life. Heavenly life. I ain't no barely getting by believer. I ain't one hanging in there. No. I'm abounding in the fullness of what God has given me. Now, does my natural mind think that way? Nope. Matter of fact, every time the Spirit speaks to me, that voice has a voice of its own. Talks up right away. Now, how can you say that? You can't see that. I know right away. Shut up, carnal mind. Shut your face right now. I'm not going by what I can taste. I'm not going by what I can feel. I'm not going by what I can hear. I'm going by my knower on the inside of me, called my spirit. I have an inner witness that is far greater than you, your carnal thinking. Have you ever noticed that any time you think about the things of God, do you know there's always this negative voice that goes with it? That's the voice of your carnal mind. You know, in my life, I don't know how many times I've made commitments before the Lord. I'm not going to do that no more, Lord. I'm going to change direction. Here's how I found the carnal mind. Now, you know what your past is like. You know, you've tried that before. How many pounds have you lost? For example. That's that carnal mind. That's how you can tell He exists. How many of you ever stepped out and had to believe God for maybe a healing? You know when the carnal mind speaks? When you believe in a healing. It right away says, now you can't really believe that, can you? Do you know that you do not deserve that healing? You need to earn it. Right away, I know that's my carnal mind talking. He, you know, everybody says, the devil made me do it. The devil only made you do it providing you listen to your carnal mind. Because the devil can't make you do anything without deceiving you. And he has to use your body of flesh to deceive you. I've had people say, you know, one of these days I'm going to get committed to God and do His work. But I got to take care of these other things first. You're thinking out of your carnal mind. Because your spirit will not give you that kind of leeway. Your spirit will always say, let Him have the preeminence. And everything else will fall into place. Begin to work for you. No, we want everything to fall in place before we serve God. And I'm going to tell you, people, we don't live on that kind of planet. We're living on a planet that is designed to consume you from spiritual growth, spiritual commitment. That's the planet we live on. Did you know that this planet belongs to the God of this world? The only way you can have authority over this world is to be in Jesus, because He took the authority that was necessary for us to control this damnable world. Thank God for resurrection power. Thank God for resurrection power. Thank God you were here today to understand this. That your life is hid in Him. That I'm going to tell you what. If you're here this morning and you've been ripped off, it's time to rip somebody else. Is it all right to say that? Oh, okay. You can change your life. You can turn it around. If you're faced with difficulties tomorrow, I got news for you. If you're back into that place God wants you to be in, the authority that He has given you, tomorrow will change. It can change. If the situation don't change, God can change your attitude in the situation. And once He gets a hold of you in that area, then when you face a trial, it's a whole lot easier to face a trial in a hope than having no hope at all. Do you guys agree with that? You see, you can be anything you want to be in Him. But you know what? You have to press in and put a demand on it. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violent, but it says the violent take it by force. The thing that throws us off is the word violent, because a lot of people don't know what that word meant when that was written. At the time that word was written, violent, it literally is referring to a person who presses in on something, who goes for it with his whole heart, that he is determined to succeed with whatever it is he's after. That's what that word violent meant. And so they attached the transliteration to that. He is a violent man. We only think it from the negative. But the Bible, the original word, was a positive one. It meant this guy is diligent. This guy can't be taken out. He uses everything he can to press himself in to what belongs to him. He is a determined, violent individual. And if you want to be victorious in your walk with God, you have to make a decision that you're going after it with everything that's in you. You are going to be a violent person to obtain it. Amen. You know, we're going to have communion. And ushers, you might as well come forward right now to receive the communion elements. And this is Easter. And this is a good time to have communion. This communion is symbolic of starting fresh with our life as believers. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? You know, many of you today, you might not have come to think about a fresh new beginning for yourself. But I'm going to tell you what, that's what Easter is all about. Easter is our 4th of July. It really is. It is the symbols of the resurrection of the Lord in power and great victory over mankind's life. Hallelujah. And so today, we'll take a few moments as we take the communion elements. And if you're here this morning and can truthfully say you've been a little cold and complacent in the things of God, well, just put it under the blood of Jesus. Put it under the blood of Jesus and forget that thing. And just march forward as a person who has gotten right with their Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. If an Easter ever meant anything to you, it would be to receive the fullness of what it was all about. Hallelujah. Every one of us leaving here knowing we have a fresh start in Him for the victory that we need. You know, there's a lot of you in here that are probably saying, I'm fed up with losing battles. Well, do you know what? If you get fed up enough, you'll start fighting back. And it's time we fight back. Hallelujah. As a church, declaring our victory in Him. Praise God. And through the communion elements, we can do that. Hallelujah. It's just symbols. It's symbolic of something. But it has great power and great victory behind it. I don't know about many of you, but I'm not going to continue on with my walk with the Lord and live out of the garbage can of my body. I'm going to live out of the victory of my spirit. Paul says, whom I serve with my spirit. Hallelujah. The body, all is this good for now, is for it to emanate resurrection power. It should not be telling you where to go, what to do. Shouldn't be dictating to you if it's graveyard material. Hallelujah. And all that the body deserved. I want to share something with you that was very interesting. I was praying one day. And how many of you have seen the symbol of the cross? I was praying one day and you know, as usual in my mind, I looked at the cross and I saw Jesus hung there. And one morning when I felt exceptionally free from the physical person that I was, I knew I was in the Spirit. And I looked, and when I looked up, I saw the cross, but I did not see Jesus on that cross. I saw me hanging on it. And I tried to get that picture out of my mind. And how many of you ever seen the movie The Passion of Christ? And I saw me on that cross, and I kept shaking it, and I says, "Not, what is that all about?" And finally, the Lord spoke to me, and here's what He spoke to me. He says, "From your point of view, you see me on the cross. But from my point of view, I see you on that cross." And it finally dawned on me that from God's viewpoint, what He saw on the cross, that He poured His whole wrath out on His Son, He poured it out on you and me. That's who He poured it out on. We, from our side, we see Him pouring it out on Jesus. But from the Father's side, He saw His wrath being poured out on you and me. So, when I saw that, got that revelation of that, it finally dawned on me that when I looked at the Passion of Christ, it took on a different meaning. I was feeling sorry for Jesus when the Lord was telling me, you should feel sorry for yourself because I poured my wrath out on you. Therefore, you're justified. You and I have been justified because of the cross. That's almost too hard to conceive. Now when I looked at the movie, The Passion, it took on a different meaning. I felt sorry for Jesus when I should be feeling sorry for myself. Because in the mind of God, He poured His wrath out on mankind through His Son. And He was satisfied with it according to Isaiah 53. He said He poured His wrath out on Him. Therefore, He was satisfied with the claims of justice that needed to be done for mankind. That's why whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. He gave His physical body. at the Last Supper, he gave his physical body. That the body of Christ would always remain intact. And so this morning, with thinking within ourselves, what is it that I need to adjust? What is it do I need to correct to give him the preeminence over my life? To face tomorrow, to face next week, to face next month. What do I need to do to give him myself? First of all, the symbolicness of him giving his body for yours. So in that night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which was given for you. So let's take, eat. And in the same night, when he took the cup, he said, take the cup and drink it in remembrance of me. And what the cup represents is his shed blood for you and me. The cleansing agent that is necessary to restore us with him. Let's drink. Praise God. Now, if you will, just bring your cups into the center aisles, and the ushers will be glad to pick them up for you. Hallelujah. Are you guys going to have a great Easter? Are you going to have relatives over and friends and everything? Now, tonight we don't have church. This is Easter to be with family. Well, in closing, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for resurrection life. We thank you for the victory that you've purchased for mankind. Whosoever will can call upon you, be saved. Because, Father, it's only found in our confession, our mouths, and it's near us. It's even in our heart. So this morning, if there would be anybody here who would like prayer, would like to receive Jesus as a personal Savior, well, we'll be glad to minister salvation to you. Or if you're here and you restored your walk with Him and like to reaffirm that with us, feel free to do that. So with every head bowed, we won't do anything to embarrass you. Won't make you feel bad or anything like that. But if you'd like salvation or restoration, just feel free to step out now and come forward, anybody. Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. We'll take a few moments of that time. Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I noticed a little baby boy up in front dancing and praising and worshiping God. It's okay if you have your kids come up. Yes, right here. Yes, anybody else? Anybody else who would like to join? Feel free to. Anyone else? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as they come up, Father, you know their need. May that be granted to them. It's so important for their life. So, Father, as we pray for them and minister to them, may they be glorified in you. With that said, the rest of you can go home.